perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and on today's program, I am blessed to be joined by Tony Heiler. Tony is an advocate for the Illinois Youth Correctional Facility in St. Charles, Illinois, and Tony has had a successful business, but now he has moved into ministry formation and supporting his pastor at St. John Newman Parish. He serves as an acolyte there, but his ministry to really help be an advocate for the Illinois youth at this Illinois Youth Center in St. Charles is truly admirable. He's done an amazing job and truly incredible work for the Lord. So, Tony, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with me today on Young Catholics Respond. It's always a pleasure to talk to people who are living, the Beatitudes and that are living the corporal works of mercy. So thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So on today's program, we're really going to focus in on disadvantaged youth and the youth that are really struggling out there that are imprisoned. What does that environment look like? What are the things that the young people, adolescents and, young adults are struggling with? What has got them incarcerated?
Well, I'm going to start with just a quick overview of the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice and how we got to where we're at right now. In 2014, the state of Illinois treated all our youth like adults. They reported into an adult probation officer. They got the same sentences as adults got. And in 2014, the state of Illinois went through a reform from punitive to restorative. And since then, at that time, they had over 1,500 youth. And when I mean youth, anywhere from 12 years old up to 18 years old, incarcerated in the state of Illinois. And the recidivism rate was about 57%. So with this new restorative system, they have their own parole officers. They've got 50 aftercare specialists just for the youth, not the adults. And what they try to do, they know that once you've incarcerated as a youth, you're more likely going to be incarcerated as an adult if it's just punitive. So since then, now there's only 400 youth in the state of Illinois, and the recidivism rate has dropped to 11%. So we're heading in the right direction, but still 400 youth is still too many to not have an opportunity. And most of the children, there's 34 juvenile justice systems of prisons in the state of Illinois, of which 29 are for adults and 5 are for youth. And where I work at is in St. Charles, it's mostly people from Rockford, Chicago. And I don't want to categorize everybody there because everybody has a different need. But a lot of these youth are individuals that don't have dads. They're born into a gang society. They're kind of born, to try to survive. And I'm not there to just judge or, judge them. I'm there to love them. My job is to bring hope through Christ. And some of the things we talk about on this program about what we're trying to do, they're just things to bring them closer to Christ. And it's through different other mediums that you and I wouldn't even know about. When I first started volunteering out there with Father Peck 4 years ago, I mean, we had basketball, soccer. Some of these kids are from Chicago, a six-block area. They've never left that six blocks because if they do, they get killed. They've never seen Lake Michigan. So a lot of the things we take for granted, these youth are traumatized. A lot of them have substance abuse issues, mental health issues. So, you know, I just go there to try to bring hope and treat them as an individual, not as a prisoner. I don't go see people in prison. I don't go see people in the hospital. I go see people, which are God's children. And it doesn't matter where they're at.
That's so beautiful.
Or what they've done. For the grace of God, go I. So, you know, I've got one more quick story. I don't want to keep...
Oh, no, it's great. This is good. Talking. Keep going.
Yeah, so this Father Peck was telling me, he was reading this article about this lady that she mentored over 220 children over her span of her... She was a teacher over her lifetime. And out of those 220, almost 200 of them went to college and became productive citizens. And they were underprivileged children. And they asked her, what in the world did you do? What's the magic sauce that why are they doing so well? And you know what she said? She said, what I did was I loved them. That's all she did. So this is not rocket science. These kids are no different than... When I go out there, when I talk to these children, I talk to them. I see my own children. I see Jesus in each one of them's eyes. I treat each one of them as individual, whether they're Hispanic, black, white. It doesn't – all those barriers go down, and we have them – they're put in St. Charles for a reason because we're an affluent city, and we and these children out there, they come from the worst of the worst. And there's a reason they're there. We have them at the most important part of their life to influence them. The only problem that they kept saying that they had when they get out, what really triggered it, we had a round table where we had over 60 youth. We went around and asked them, what's their major concern? Their major concern is they thank God that they were in prison. Otherwise, they'd be dead. Their major concern was when they get out, what I do, they call it a pipe is a code word for a gun. And the reason they have to get a pipe is because of retaliation. And so I thought to myself, you know, if we could just give one of these kids an opportunity to go to college and not go back to that neighborhood. And that's when we started this organization. It's a 501c charity. It's called Save One Life Foundation, and I'll get into more what that's doing on the second half of the program, such as sending people to college, etc. So that's what we're dealing with. You know, at Illinois Youth Center, and it's a complex situation because you got a lot of these guards, you know, that came from the adult correction system. It's just, you know, even though they have school, there's a lot of gang members, there's seven different cottages, and each cottage cannot cross each other because they have one gang members in one cottage and another one. If they see each other, they'll try to kill each other, even in prison. So it's a complex situation when you go out there, but I feel totally safe. I mean, we go there, you know. I can get into some of the stuff. We have communion service. We have mass on Saturday morning. We have prayer group on Tuesday night. We have a teen center out there. We started getting involved. They didn't have any. They had a bunch of Xboxes, but no controllers. They had pool tables, but they were all beat up. They had basketball hoops, but no basketballs. So it's just little stuff.
Yeah.
And so we started our prison ministry. And, you know, you asked me how you could do it with other prisons. Just start a prison ministry at your parish. We meet the third Monday of every month. And all we do is we meet and talk about for a half hour what's going on and how to get involved. And about once a month, we might have one person show up because it's not for everybody. You just need to be able to have empathy and to love the person that you're with at that time. And really, you do a lot of listening and not a lot of talking because they have a lot. If you can imagine when you were 14 years old and if you were locked up in an institution, you know, and had nobody to talk to, what would you want?
Yeah. Right. And you know, Tony, this is a really amazing. I just hear, you know, Jesus coming through the other end of the phone here. And what's amazing about, you know, you talking about this is it's so real and so down to earth and so, you know, just profound. And
no, it's all God. It's not me.
But
I'm
be it right. But it's but that's the whole that's the beautiful thing about it. It's the fact that we are capable. Each and every one of us is capable of doing that. And you know, one of the big corporal works of mercy, right, is that we visit those imprisoned and youth imprisoned. As you kind of highlighted, there's some differences, right? There's some differences between, you know, just the punitive and the restorative, and trying to restore and give these kids life and give these kids a chance at breaking out of the cycle that they have known since infancy. And that is contributing to society. That is contributing to the gospel. I mean, you know, when you, as you, you know, we're going to talk about it, that save one life mentality, as you mentioned, that save one life mentality. If I can just get one of these kids to go to college, I've bettered the world, right? And that's incredible.
No, it's you know, I started going to Mass maybe 10 years ago, and the more I hear scripture and the more I go out there, it's not rocket science. It's seeing Jesus and everybody you come in contact with, even the guards, you know, the guards, the administration, everybody cares, but they don't really know what to do. And you know, if you just sit one-on-one with a kid and talk to him, and it's all about their story. A lot of judges now, instead of going to court and the kid says, the judge says, okay, what did you do? Here's your sentence. A lot of the judges, especially up in Milwaukee, in that area, they're starting to ask the kids, what's your story? Why are you here? And if you listen to their story, when their grandmother, when they come home, their mom had them when they were 13 or 14 years old. They don't know their mom or dad. Their grandmother is, you know, is still young. She makes them go out and sell crack to live in the house, and then they end up in prison. You know, those are the kind of kids we're working with. I mean, but they all want the same opportunity we have, and they don't even know that exists because
right.
They never left that six block area.
Yeah, and so expanding that six block area is where you come in. And what's incredible is you're doing that behind prison walls. You're doing that in the confined area. You're showing them more of the world behind prison walls.
Yeah, Bill, it's not just me. It's the Lord, number one. It's the Lord inviting other people. We just had a volunteer banquet out there. It's everybody. It's the staff. It's the guards. It's the volunteers. They have over 60 volunteers to go out and tutor, and these are, you know, specialized people. So it's not. And then we're also working in a system that, you know, like the lady said, in aftercares, we have the cream of the crop because there's only 400. Those are the 400 that really should be in prison. There was 1,500. So we're dealing with, you know, the worst of the worst, if you want to put it that way, or the ones that should be there. But if you listen to their story, I keep going back to that. It just they all want to, you know, I can just go over and over stories. Once you get to know somebody, you know, one kid kept saying he was going to sell heroin to those white folks out in, you know, Galena or wherever he came from. And it was a lot easier to do that to make money. And then when he graduated from high school, our church bought everybody suits to wear at the graduation. It's something that simple. When you graduated from high school, didn't you have a suit or a cap and gown?
Yep, absolutely.
And so this kid puts it on. He says, you know, I think I like this. He said, I might try to get a job. This way I don't have to go to jail. And I can just go over countless small things that have been done that have a big impact on these kids.
Yeah, Just amazing. Tony, thanks for being here. I want to take a short break here. We got to take a short break here. But when we come back, we're going to really focus in on one of the major projects that you have been working on with this Save One Life Foundation, and putting in a music studio and a virtual video studio and all kinds of things, because it's really providing an outlet for them to express creativity, these kids to express creativity. So we're going to take a short break here on Young Catholics Respond and then come back and continue our conversation with Tony Heiler. I'm Bill Snyder, right back after these messages.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. Today, my guest is Tony Heiler. He is a advocate for the youth at the Youth Correctional Facility in St. Charles, Illinois, working with the Department of Justice in the state of Illinois to help better youth's lives and really just being a mentor to them, visiting them in prison, and helping them restore their lives, and actually, as he mentioned in the first half of the program, really expand their vision behind prison walls. I mean, it's truly incredible what the Lord is doing through Tony. And Tony, in the second half of the program, you have some really exciting stuff that you have been doing recently, putting in a music and art studio. You call it the Peck Music and Arts Academy, and you've transformed an entire classroom into a place where kids can go explore the music and arts and rock out, right? So tell us a little bit about this.
Okay, Bill, like we started out with who we're dealing with, and now this I'd like to tell you on how you can help them. I mean, once you meet some of these youth, just as yourself, how can you not love them and want to help them? Because they want help. So we, over the last 4 years, I met a gentleman. I'm not going to mention his name. He was one of our best basketball players. And Lakeland College out of Mattoon, Illinois, does college classes there. And so he won a scholarship. And we put together a 501c called Save One Life Foundation, because he was high up as a gang member, and if he went home, he would have definitely been killed. Actually, about 4 months ago in Chicago, his twin brother was shot at 11 o'clock in the morning. So we started this Save One Life Foundation because it was really to save his life, because if he went back home, he would have been killed. And he's very smart. He's been in college now for 3 semesters. He lives in Mattoon. We have a house, six apartment house that these gentlemen live in. And he's getting straight A's. He's on the basketball team. And he's actually going to, we're having a meeting on June the 7th on how we can set up a mentorship program with Dennis McKinnon. He won the Bears Super Bowl in 85. He'll be there. So anyway, this gentleman's going to come and tell him what the Save One Life Foundation did to him. And when I was, when he asked to go to college, I said to myself, am I going to, this is just like if you ride down the street and you see somebody dying on the side of the road and you don't stop and help them, how can I not help him? I mean, he's asking for help. So anyway, from that Save One Life Foundation, he will now influence 10 other individuals. We have five more people going to college from Illinois Youth Center. And it's not just college. It will support you in any kind of trade. So from that, we said, well, that's to help them when they get out. So our goal is, through Save One Life Foundation, is to offer every one of the 400 youth some sort of opportunity when they get out, in conjunction with the aftercare specialists, with the Department of Juvenile Justice, hand in hand, to mentor them through the difficult years when they get out of prison. Can you imagine getting out of prison at 20 and going in when you were 12? You don't know how to get a driver's license. You don't know how to cut your lights on. You don't know how to open up a checking account. So like with the gentleman we have at Mattoon now, he's gonna change the lives of 10 more individuals.
Beautiful.
So with that, go ahead. With that Save One Life Foundation, it also provides basketballs, soccer balls, shin guards, snacks, all the different stuff that the state of Illinois cannot afford at this time, to help show that we care about these youth. So one thing that we asked 30 children one time, what's the number one thing in your life that you'd like? And each one of them said music. They love to rap. I go out and do a Sunday morning service with a gentleman that's called Motivator G. He raps the Bible. And I'm not a rapper, but that's the way he communicates with them. So they all said that they could express themselves. Now, remember, they're traumatized. They have mental issues. They can't really express themselves the way they do. So we said, well, let's put in a music studio. So last December, we started purchasing all the equipment. And actually, last weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, it was all installed, drums, guitars, keyboards. We have cameras. We have an Apple mixing board. It's probably about $60,000 worth of equipment that's in a classroom. And the reason it's called Peck Music and Arts Academy is because Father Peck was really, in our parish, behind this ministry, this prison ministry initiative. He got it going, so we named the studio after that. And the goal was to have these, youth go in and allow them to express themselves in a means that maybe you and I don't appreciate, but it's what they appreciate. We're all different. So it's really exciting. We're starting to set the schedule now to where kids can come in and take classes and put together bands. It's all sorts of volunteers that are offering to go out and help. And I'll just give you one word of advice. When you hear prison and you think that you're not going to be safe, it's probably the safest place on earth because there's so many cameras, so many guards around, so don't let that intimidate you. If you have a love for youth and you have a love for youth that want to better themselves, that have been born in a terrible situation, then start a youth ministry, or not a youth ministry, but a prison ministry, at your parish.
Yeah, it's Tony. I mean, this project has been really just incredible to follow, and obviously I've been following it, with you and whatnot for a little while here, and it's really been incredible. I mean, as you mentioned, it really is about $60,000 worth of equipment that is able to help benefit the youth, and it's going to give them a whole new avenue of expression, right? I mean, pretty soon, there's going to be podcasts and there's going to be able to be, recordings and stuff that it's going to be generating some life for these kids, and actually going to maybe even be able to give a voice out to help people realize, hey, you know what? This is what's going on, right? This is what's going on behind these prison bars, is that they're not just going to go back into this, as you mentioned, that, you know, this recidivism rate where it's just going to keep, you know, going on this cycle. But no, they're going to be getting out. They're going to be helping society, developing passions, going to college. I mean, this is ingenious. This is just an absolutely ingenious idea. And it's so Christ-centered and so Christ-focused. It's amazing that you have Father David Peck behind you so much. And it's great when you have a pastor who wants to help drive the ship, because they truly are Christ, but you know, for us in our lives. But you know, talk about how you know, if somebody was really interested in doing this in their area, how would they get started doing it? You know, we only got maybe 2 or 3 minutes left here, which is unbelievable how fast these things fly by. But talk a little bit about, you know, how maybe they can start this, or would you be willing to mentor them? Would this foundation, would the Save One Life Foundation help get it started somewhere else for somebody?
Oh, Bill, it's I'm telling you, there's so much resources out there. That's one of the problems. These kids are drowning in resources. They just don't know how to, which life vest to put on. I mean, there's the Torch Kairos retreat. They're in 30 states. They do about 300 retreats a year nationwide. They have a manual step by step on how to pull one of these retreats off. There's also there's Illiteracy Foundation volunteers. All you have to do is call your local chaplain at your youth facility or prison. Each one of them have a volunteer organizer, and just ask them. And the best, what I would recommend if you want to get it started from the beginning, is just ask them what's going on, and ask if you could just come a couple of times with them and observe. And once you get into the system, you can't help from seeing all the different resources. Dismas is out of Milwaukee. They're a national Catholic prison ministry that will provide all sorts of materials and resources to you. There's annual conventions you can go to. You don't let any of that, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already there. We just need more people to get involved and to, I call it the ministry of presence. All you have to do is show up. God will do the rest. And as far as that $60,000, we didn't pay that money. God did. That's His. We raised that money. God blessed people with that $60,000. And so nobody really gave anything to the prison. Nobody gives anything to anything. God blesses you with it, and you're to be a good steward of it. And that's, once, if everybody realized, you know, Father Peck says, if it's not bringing you closer to Christ, then don't do it. So everything we do at the prison, we pray before basketball, we pray after basketball. It's to bring people closer to Christ. It's not the music studio. It's not the rapping. It's, those are just means to get closer to Christ, because they're never going to find true happiness until they fill that hole in art with Jesus.
Amen. Just amen. Tony, it has been a absolute pleasure to have you on the program today. I wish I could talk to you for another, 2 hours about this, but unfortunately, we're out of time. But thank you so much for spending time with us here today on Young Catholics Respond.
Thanks for having me, Bill. It's been awesome. And you have awesome parents, and you're an awesome person.
All right, thank you so much. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program, or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.